Here we are, hour three of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Clay and I getting through all the things you need to know about, need to hear about today. Thank you so much for being with us. Please do subscribe to the Clay and Buck podcast. Clay's already told you today we are looking to set a record for the show in the month of September. Already getting on track for it. So if you miss any part of the show, if you want to share the show with friends, which we greatly appreciate, by the way, anytime you can do that, just go wherever you listen to podcasts, the Clay and Buck Show, plus clayandbuck.com for stories, including if you just missed Dr. Paul, for example. Some of you will know Dr. Paul from last week. We had a viral call-in. I mean, wow, that was I believe that's a double entendre.
Yes.
A viral call-in from Dr. Paul last week, and we had him follow up today with more on masking kids, vaccine kids, and just what the data is really telling us. And I thought a fantastic interview as well with, look, the hospitalization numbers for COVID this year are just greatly inflated. Not 5 or 10%, probably 40, 50, maybe even a little more than 50% overall. What does that tell us about the healthcare policies that we've been put through? Later on this hour, the immigration situation at our southern border continues to be out of control. Fox News has actually confirmed independently from reporting earlier this morning and last night that migrants, Haitian migrants, are being released into the U.S. interior, which they promised us would not happen. They said that was not going to be the case. It is happening. Biden lied. What will this mean going forward for all of us? But as promised, Clay had this great idea that we should just look, instead of talking about the Fauci and what he's saying in any given moment, why don't we get him here to join us? I mean, we've had, you know, former President Trump on the show. We've had all kinds of senators and experts. And Clay, I mean, usually when we invite someone onto a platform of this size, and we thank Rush for building a platform of this size, and now we are entrusted to try to continue the fight in his name in the house that Rush built. But usually we invite people into Rush's house, so to speak. They come.
Yes.
What happened with Dr. Fauci? We put out the Fauci signal, and he's not answering.
Yeah, so I think this is significant. And if you heard David Zweig on in the second hour of the show, what we want to have on this show is the most honest, fact-based, intelligent radio show, and maybe show in general, because I think television shows have gone off the rails a lot of times too, in the country, right? That's our goal. That's a high aspiration. That is the mantle that Rush handed to us, and that's the one we're trying to rise to every single day. Doesn't mean we're going to do it. We're on 15 hours a week. Sometimes you're going to hear us and be like, these idiots, what in the world were they thinking for 15 minutes or an hour or even a show? We might not deliver for you every single day. Doesn't mean we're not trying to. And as a part of that, I think we owe it to all of you, if we're going to be talking about Dr. Fauci and the places where we disagree with him and playing clips of his interviews everywhere else in the media. He's on MSNBC every day. He's on CNN every day. He's on every left-wing media outlet you can find. We'll respectfully extend an offer to him to ask the questions directly to him that we are talking about every single day. And so I said, hey, let's extend an offer to him. Maybe he will respect the audience that we have and respect all of you enough, even if he doesn't respect Buck and I, to want to address you directly. And instead, he has rejected us. And so I am going to bring in Dr. Fauci's perfect doppelganger here, a graduate of the same high school as the Fauci master himself. This is Dr. Buck Fauci, who is here to respond. This is now, while Buck is going to be doing a voice here, right?
I think they get that part. Yes.
This is an actual email. You're not faking this email. This is the actual email response
from the Office of Communications.
From the office of Dr. Fauci himself. Here, we got it.
Hi. Thank you for checking in, and my apologies for the delayed response. We appreciate your interest. However, as you've noted, Dr. Fauci is currently overwhelmingly busy, and he will not be available for this interview. Best Office of Communications and Government Relations and Mitigation and Droplets, etc., etc., Dr. Fauci.
Clay, can I just say, in media speak, when they tell you, not available for this interview, not available this week or whatever. This is the equivalent of like when I ask a woman out and she says, "I'm really busy these days." That means the Buckster his reach has exceeded his grasp, if you know what I mean, right?
You've outkicked your coverage in your dating.
I've outkicked my coverage, indeed. Fauci here, his office, is straight up telling us, no chance, guys. And, you know, I just think it makes me kind of sad because if he came on, I give you my word, it would not be a grumpy buck day, because that could happen. I would be respectful, but firm in the questions I would ask. And I really do want to be able to ask him certain questions that I know the media won't. Looks like we're not getting that chance.
And again, I just want to emphasize what he said. And I want, look, the guy is, and I got to be careful so that I don't curse. The guy is full of, you know what, right? When he says that he is overwhelmingly busy, I want you to pay attention to how many outlets he will make the time to appear on. The guy does everybody who shows up with a mic and is going to gently caress all of his idiocy. He'll make time for anybody at MSNBC. He will make time for anyone at CNN. It doesn't matter who they are. He will show up. He might well show up tonight after saying he's overwhelmingly busy. And again, I do think it's funny that Buck points out he's not available ever.
Right.
Like, he's so busy that he can never speak to you at all at any point in the future.
The biggest radio show in the country, and he doesn't have time to speak to us. And I just would say, you look at CNN and how often he's on there, you have to wonder, do they have a cot for him in the green room?
Like, basically.
Does he have, like, a place where he can sleep? Because he's there so much, it would just make sense for him to at least have a place to stay. You know, maybe they set him up with his own bathroom and, you know, a washcloth for those long days. It's crazy, Clay. But he's a political operative posing as an infectious disease nonpartisan policy advisor. That's what the Fauci really is.
And by the way, CNN is coming after us. This is not really a surprise, but when we pointed out that Fauci said that college football games were going to be super spreaders and that COVID was going to be feasting is what the word that was used, Oliver Darcy at CNN said, where did Fauci say these games would be super spreaders? When asked earlier this month on CNN about the scenes of maskless fans in packed stadiums, he said he didn't believe it was smart. But that's not the same as declaring the games would be super spreaders. I mean, so then we had to share with Mr. Darcy here the clip from MSNBC where he said that it was going to be a feast. And this is when he had time to appear on Joy Reid's show. Let's listen to this.
What was your sort of immediate thought when you saw all of those fans packed into stadiums in Texas, Wisconsin, and elsewhere? As soon as I saw it, I thought COVID's about to have a feast. What did you think?
I thought the same thing. I think it's really unfortunate. I would hope that most of the people in that stadium were vaccinated. And even if they were, the close congregate setting, they should have been wearing masks.
Fauci, meanwhile, doesn't wear masks at baseball games for very long. We've all seen those photos, right? But he was outdoors. Clay, I mean, when he's agreeing so heartily with one of the more ignorant cable news hosts, there are a lot of them that
yes.
would be up for the role of most ignorant, but one of the more ignorant ones, it tells you something.
Not only that, I mean, the fact that he's totally wrong about this, we're going to be almost the only news outlet out there. I think Fox News will pick up on this because I work at Fox, but this is a big deal. And people say, well, why do you use this? Because when you're wrong about this, you are wrong about outdoor, at a minimum, massive crowds, right? So this idea that you need to have vaccine passports or you need to have negative COVID tests, the data reflects that all over the South, cases have plummeted in the 2 weeks since hundreds of thousands and millions of people went to games.
Could it be a seasonal effect that we are seeing, like the one that happened last summer before
yes.
the vaccines as well? Gee, maybe we paid attention to this. Or we're allowed to, in the media, pay attention to this without being shouted down or ignored all the time, we would get further in the national conversation. I'd also say, I mean, Clay, I know you feel the same way. If I say, so on this show, I was talking about how, you know, I mentioned a book and I said it was the basis for, With the Old Breed, was the basis for Band of Brothers. I meant The Pacific, the other great World War II HBO show. That has still bothered me to this day. Saying one thing that, I mean, it's just a brain slip of, you know, the Band of Brothers is great. The Pacific is great. Watch them both. But yes, with the old breed is for The Pacific, obviously not Band of Brothers. But that's been, obviously, it's still not bothered me till now. Fauci goes on TV and says wrong crap all the time. Have you ever seen him go on TV and say, mea culpa, it was a late night at MSNBC, and I was tired, and my eyelids were getting droopy, and I misread the data? No, it's always, I am science. That's what
and,
he says.
And I think that's important. And I think one thing that our audience has already learned about us is we're far from perfect. We're going to screw up all the time. We may call for a clip, and it doesn't show up. We may call for a clip, and it's a different clip. We may try to go to a caller, and the caller might not be there. We may, as you mentioned, talk about something and get a fact wrong. But when we get something wrong, we are going to be honest with you and say, hey, that was a screw up. We're not going to be perfect. This is 15 hours a week of live radio, and we're here with you guys, and we're trying to get things right. And I always said on my old show, and I know you talked about this too, Buck, the reason why facts matter for our purposes is, one, we don't want to ever be factually inaccurate with you because we don't want to spread inaccuracies, but also we have lots of opinions. And if your opinion is based on a factual inaccuracy, then you are going to end up with worse opinions, right? And so this is significant. Own when you are wrong. Will anybody hold Fauci accountable? And what this is significant, too, because what he's trying to do is keep a lot of you from being able to go to a college football game or a high school football game or an NFL game or just go shop in a store without a mask.
This is why I don't feel sheepish about really trying to take Fauci to task on stuff.
Yes.
This is why, because the stuff that he's doing, his bad ideas and his dishonesty are hurting people. I know he thinks he's saving people, but the data does not support him. The actual numbers, when you line it up on a timeline with his prognostications and his, you know, statements, you know, Fauci ex cathedra, right? When that happens, when you see this, you know this is a guy who people have lost their businesses because of him. People have had to get shots they didn't need because of him. People have, look, let's be honest,
kids have not been able to go to school.
Haven't been able to go to school. I was going to say been alone and lonely and overdosed on drugs because of lockdowns, which never should have happened to this country. Never should have happened in any country, by the way. I mean, you see the dehumanization of the people of Australia by their own government. I mean, they have police officers now. They should be resigning before they even think about the stuff they're doing. They'll deploy and start firing rubber bullets at people who are just protesting, not destroying anything, not attacking anyone, protesting against the lockdowns because the Protest Act itself is a violation of the lockdowns. This is what they're willing to accept in that country. Do you ever hear Fauci, by the way, say, look at the excesses and that we would never do that here? No, I think the people who really understand Fauci know that if he could push for those things or could have, he would have, and he would sleep soundly at night knowing that he was arresting anyone listening to this with their three-year-old screaming and crying for failure to wear a mask.
That's where we would be. I 100% believe we would be Australia if we didn't have Republican governors. If we didn't have federalism in this country, there would be no checks on the power of Joe Biden, the Democrats, and Dr. Fauci. They would have us locked down. I really believe that they would be arresting people for protesting the lockdowns. I think that's where we'd be.
Let's come back in just a moment to talk about what's happening at the border, because you want to talk about lies and propaganda. Administration is going to spin, but they can't escape the truth on this, and we won't let them. Coming up at the border crisis. Is there a more consistent and stable investment than gold? It's the model of stability and the best form of protection in today's era of inflation and volatility. The first time I purchased gold, actual gold, was an exhilarating moment. And when you take physical possession of it, whatever amount it is, there's nothing like it. You sense the value immediately. You understand why it's been the standard for our currency based on, well, forever. I rely on my partners at the Oxford Gold Group to help me with my purchase of gold. They've figured out an easy way for precious metals to be delivered right to your home. That includes silver, by the way, platinum, There's nothing, though, like real gold arriving on your doorstep. Let me tell you, the peace of mind that comes with having gold locked away in your home in a safe place brings that certain level of security. It's not complicated to purchase either. My friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. They've had real gold delivered to my home. They can have real gold delivered to your home. Or if you want, they can have it as part of your IRA. It's just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA or delivered to your door. Oxford Gold Group, 833-404-GOLD.
Still making the complex understandable. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton break it down on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton rolling through the final hour of the program on the Wednesday edition. I encourage you to go download and subscribe to the podcast. Lots of great stuff already. And I know we have a lot of listeners up in Canada, actually, where Justin Trudeau has been reelected. But
you have a
just
lot
know
of,
that it didn't come without a few extra blackface photos circulating.
Do you have a lot of Outkick fans, up in Montreal?
Justin Trudeau, by the way, Buck, I mean, did the guy only go in blackface costumes? I mean, it seems like there's an awful lot of blackface of him. And actually, I guess the Aladdin costume would be what, brownface, maybe more so?
It's not even clear. I'm asking, like, I'm assuming Outkick is a big deal up in Canada, right?
We have a lot of Canadian readers. And I know, Clay and Buck, we have a lot of listeners up there because that country is a lot like Australia, and it has spiraled totally out of control compared to freedoms. And, you know, the funny thing is, I don't even know how many letters we now have, because it used to be LGBT, which was a lot to keep up with. But then they added in Q and Z and P and everything else, and Justin Trudeau got all sorts of stumbled up trying to make sure that he was being as inclusive as possible. Listen to this.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ2+ kids' rights to not have to undergo conversion therapy.
Wait, can we just... You know what you can really do? I mean, if you're standing in front of Justin Trudeau, I assure you, he's so woke, you could just start adding letters and he would.
Yes.
LGBTQ, RS, LMNOP, ABC, TUV.
You might as well just say the entire alphabet at this point. I want to hear that one more time just because it's so perfect. I mean, this is a guy who should be an expert at making sure that he's inclusive as possible. He can't even keep up with all the letters now.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ2+ kids' rights.
Did he say two
not
plus?
Have to,
is there now an equation?
You need the plus, so when you add the new letters, you got room for them. That's
is
the
this
point
like,
of the plus.
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Is That's there a parenthetical thing involved here? Parentheses? I don't even know. This is confusing for me already. I'm not even sure what's going on, but I will tell you this. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation helps America never forget 9/11. We saw how important that was just 2 weeks ago. Now the foundation's giving 200 mortgage-free homes to America's heroes and their families. They're doing this with your contributions, honoring the lives of those lost or seriously injured in the line of duty. This weekend, Tunnel to Towers is busy again in the five boroughs of New York City with their 5K run and walk. Allie on the show. She's going to be doing it. It's an emotional day. Starts in Brooklyn. Tens of thousands of people retrace Stephen Siller's selfless final footsteps on 9/11. Never forget and donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. Again, it's this Sunday, September 26th. Lynyrd Skynyrd is there. Sign up and ensure that you get $11 a month at t2t.org. Do it.
Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. The crisis at the border continues on right now as we speak to White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki back and forth with Peter Ducey of Fox. Go to it.
Steps that at a time were done, being done and worked toward in a bipartisan way, something that certainly we think should be the case today. He uses all of his experiences to inform how he governs, how he approaches challenges. And certainly he looks again at the last 4 years and the separation of children who were ripped from the arms of their parents as a way he does not want to proceed. So all of his experiences and his time in office, whether vice president or Senate, inform his approach to issues. Go ahead.
The Brazilian health minister tested positive for coronavirus. He shook hands and spent time with Boris.
All right, so there's the White House.
Okay, so we get it. Anyway, basically she was asked there about Biden. Has Biden been to the border, and what is he going to do about this? And what Clay is so striking is that whenever there's a focus on the border and the numbers and what's happening, all you can expect from Democrats is a whole lot of spin, because this is now a crisis that also is going to have real political implications, at least in the short term, as we have confirmation after Biden's team had been saying the last couple of days, oh, no, look, we're going to use Title 42. We're expelling a lot of the Haitian migrants who are gathered in Del Rio, Texas. Don't worry. The border's not wide open, Mayorkas says. We're going to send people back. That's the fundamental lie. We're going to send people back. Not really. Thousands of them have already been let into the country, Clay, and they're trying to distract us with something that has nothing to do with anything. We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, and I think one of the questions people have is, okay, what's the significance here? Is any of this failure registering? And I think the one positive of all of Biden's failures, Buck, I don't know if you saw this, earlier today, a new poll came out from Gallup, which is probably, I know people are questionable about polls in general because of how wrong they've been a lot of issues over the years. But today, Joe Biden's approval rating, according to Gallup, hit a new low of 43%. This is not some like partisan political situation. And what's interesting about it is, one, this is the lowest that it's ever been for Joe Biden, and 53% of people out there disapprove. All right. And this is significant because in January, Gallup claimed that Joe Biden had a 57% approval rating and just a 37% disapproval rating. Well, in the space of 8 months, he's now down to 43% approval, 53% disapproval. And listen to this. We talk about the 20% in the middle, the independents, right? Because you're never going to get all of those people out there who are dyed-in-the-wool Democrats to disagree with Joe Biden. He has a 37% approval rating among independents, 61%, Buck, disapproval rating. So his approval rating among the people who will decide the presidency is at 37%. That is an unbelievable collapse in general over this entire case.
You know,
it's significant.
You just gave us the data, but I'm just my quick reaction, my hot take to that data.
Yes.
If you're somebody for whom not Trump isn't good enough. Talking about Biden voters now, folks,
yeah.
Right? If you're somebody for whom anybody but Trump is not actually the answer to your political prayers, you see this Biden administration and recognize how much of a failure it already is. And they're even running out of ways to try to spin things, explain things. And the border is a great example of this. I mean, Clay, you had yesterday Jen Psaki, Chuck Schumer, I mean, prominent Democrats on TV all over the place even Kamala Harris going along with this lie about Border Patrol whipping Haitian migrants.
What I saw depicted about those individuals on horseback treating human beings the way they were is horrible. And I fully support what is happening right now, which is a thorough investigation into exactly what is going on there. But human beings should never be treated that way, and I'm deeply troubled about it.
I mean, we don't need an investigation. Nothing happened. What she's thinking, notice how she says depicted. Why is she using, because that was the perception based on the photo? It's already been clear. There's video of it. Everyone knows the guy was using horse reins to maneuver the horse he was on. He was not whipping or trying to whip anyone.
How about we have an investigation instead of into one viral video, which, again, is being
based on a lie.
Inaccurately described,
yeah,
as to what was occurring. It was a lie. But instead of an investigation into that, shouldn't we have an investigation into how 14,000 or more people suddenly ended up in Del Rio, Texas, and how many of those people are being let into the country? I mean, this is where what I find so frustrating, Buck, is anecdote-driven politics is what you just heard from Kamala Harris. It's not the masses, right? What happened with these 14,000 people? How did they get there? How many of them are illegally going to enter into the country? What they are doing is obfuscating. They are confusing. They are distorting the overall story here by looking at that one photo, which they're inaccurately describing, but that's one person. The story here is not what happened to that one person or the person who's on a Border Patrol horse, no matter what happened. It's how did all these people get here?
I agree with you. It also didn't happen, right?
I mean, yes, I get it.
The story, no, I mean, I know, but you sit here, we talk about this for 24 hours. The vice president is speaking about a fabrication as though it's a moment of national crisis that we have to focus on. And to our point before about how if you or I say anything here that we know is actually ends up being wrong, which is going to happen sometimes, I'm embarrassed and want to correct it right away. Whenever I know that I've said, and I know you feel the same way, the people that are telling you things about the border right now, the Biden administration, Jen Psaki, oh, we're not letting people, Mayorkas, the DHS chief, we're not letting people into the country who aren't supposed to be here. They're not gaming our system. That's a lie. Yes, they are. So you would think the press corps would all be up in arms because they're the guardians of our republic and they're supposed to be speaking truth to power. Power has lied to them. But as we know, they're the handmaidens of power. They actually do power's bidding all the time in D.C. right now. So that's why there's a need for people like us to be here saying, hey, everybody, this is a massive, not just a crisis of lawlessness, but also an instance of the kind of lies this Biden administration is willing to tell, which are the most bald-faced, the most obvious and clear lies you could ever get.
And I think that's significant what you're saying, because there are times when you may get a fact wrong and you're not intending to get a fact wrong. Here, this is an intentional lie, right? She has an entire staff of people. She has the ability to research and get the full story herself, and yet she's still intentionally lying. This wasn't a misspeak. Like we played earlier, Nancy Pelosi saying 150,000 people had been vaccinated when she means, I think, 150 million.
And it's more than 200 million. But also, can we say, Clay, that that misspeak, when you say
representative,
it, it's a misspeak, shouldn't you correct it?
Yeah, and also, you shouldn't even be able to misspeak that wrong, right? That'd be like me saying, hey, there right now in the United States are 24 states. And be like, wait, I'm pretty sure there's still 50 states, right? Like,
I think Barack Obama did that, if you remember. What did he say? Yeah. There are 53 states he said he went to. Do you remember that? That was a pretty famous moment.
Yeah. And so sometimes it can be representative of larger issues. But here, what Kamala Harris is saying is a direct lie. And it goes to the point here of anecdote-driven media obsesses about a picture or a video, which is often not accurate or representative of what actually occurred, and doesn't focus on the larger picture, right? This is Black Lives Matter writ large. One police officer misbehaves with one individual who happens to be black, and it's representative of all interactions between black people and police officers.
And also to what we've seen here with the, quote, whipping story at the border. It's often in the context of BLM and police, not even police misbehavior. It's
right.
Behavior that's legitimate that they mischaracterize as illegitimate in order to create a controversy where one should not exist.
And then it leads to a worse result, which is because of defund the police and the delegitimization of police across this country, there are thousands of black people today who are dead that would likely have been alive if we had been able to allow police to do their job. So the consequences here of viral anecdote-driven culture leading our overall media coverage is oftentimes death, right? I mean, people are dead who would still be alive otherwise because of coverage like this.
Come in here in a few moments and take your calls. We got lines lit, 800-282-2882. And if you're listening, don't forget, follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/BuckSexton. Follow Clay on Twitter at Clay Travis. We'll be back with you in a second on all that. Lindsay from Baton Rouge, Louisiana writes in, my 12-year-old Yorkie loves the taste of Rough Greens. It's only been a couple of weeks and I already noticed a little more pep in her step. Rough Greens is a supplement that we add in the Sexton family to Tallulah, the Frenchie's dog food. Here's why. Dog food is dead food. There are no live nutrients in it. And dogs need live nutrition just like we do. Rough Greens is not a dog food. It's a healthy supplement you put into your dog's food with all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health. We're talking vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants. What you get when you add Rough Greens in your dog's food, a happier and healthier dog. You'll see it yourself. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it, they've got a special deal for you listeners to this show. Go to roughgreens.com/ClayandBuck. Now they're going to give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/ClayandBuck. roughgreens.com/ClayandBuck.
You knew before it happened what was going to happen if you listened to this program and if you had the courage to believe the truth.
Words forever etched into the heart of America. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, inspired by Rush on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in. Final segment, Wednesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Make sure you don't miss a single minute. Go subscribe today to the podcast. I'm Clay Travis. He's Buck Sexton. You can type in either of our names on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, any of those locations, and boom, you will get the ability to listen to every single interview. We talked about the flaw in hospitalization numbers with David Zweig of The Atlantic. He was our guest in the second hour yesterday. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin was fantastic. More to come tomorrow. Right now, the White House is having a press briefing, and Jen Psaki is up on the rostrum, and she was asked by Fox News' own Peter Ducey, can you even remember any time that Joe Biden has been to the border as they discuss the crisis on the border right now?
Has President Biden ever been to the southern border?
In his life?
Yes.
I will have to look back in my history books and check the times he's been to the southern border.
We have been looking all morning, and we cannot find any record of him visiting the border as president, vice president, senator, or even as a concerned citizen. Why would that be?
I can check and see when the last time or when he may have been.
I've been with Border Patrol 3-4 times the last couple of years, Clay, or last 2 or 3 years.
So you've made it down.
So, I mean, I'm not just like a little bit. I spent a week down there. I mean, I've spent time at the border, and I don't run the country. But you know, Clay, the thing about it is that if they asked Biden, could he even remember? I mean, you have to wonder, like, if he had to go back in the memory banks about the border, would we trust the answer?
Oh, we wouldn't trust the answer at all. But the fact that he may, I mean, that's great research by Peter Ducey and the Fox News team. The fact that he may never have been to the border is in his entire political career. And, you know, that was clearly a question that Jen Psaki wasn't expecting. And that's pretty amazing. We know Kamala has been down to the border. You know, she kind of did her photo op. Nobody, Mayorkas was down there this week. We played some of his audio. But, yeah, and people could say, well, why does it matter if the president is at the border or not? Well, oftentimes presidential trips are symbolic because they give you a sense of what the president cares about. It's not as if Joe Biden's going to show up at the border and he's going to put on some bomber jacket and go put on some binoculars and look and be like, oh, we need to have better presence here. We need to have better. No, but it sends the message about what the federal government is going to focus on. It lets all the Border Patrol know, hey, the guy who's ultimately in charge of policy cares deeply about what you are doing. The fact that Joe Biden hasn't taken the time or made the energy or had the effort to actually go to the border, maybe in his entire career, is a pretty incredible indictment of him.
Well, see, one of the issues, and remember when Kamala was faced with this, and I mean, there's some great Kamala moments already. Her staring into Lester Holt's eyes and just saying, I've been to the border, or we've been to the border, whatever that means, when she hadn't, was one of the great Kamala moments, because she's used to just getting away with saying whatever and the media propping her up. But Clay, the problem with going and seeing and talking, there is no member of Border Patrol that you will find anywhere. There is nobody working this issue right now. That the person does not exist who will say this is not a crisis, we are not overwhelmed, and this is not, and this is the part that really stings, in direct response to what the Biden administration has decided at a policy level. So, you know, it's like you're showing up to a place where you're just, you know, people like you and me showing up to a place full of male feminists and getting tomatoes thrown at us. That's no fun.
Buck, this is going to be a topic tomorrow. The Fauch has emailed us again. Look down at your phone. After we read the response from the Fauch, I'm not kidding. Look at your phone. Do you want me to do it, or do you want to read it in the Fauci voice?
This is breaking news.
Breaking news for the show.
This is mind-blowing. What have we got here? I don't, Clay, I'm
we got a new email. After we, so for people out there who are just tuning in, we have invited Dr. Fauci on the show. After we read the Fauci's denial of our invitation, Fox News reached out to us and said, hey, we may do a story about the, about Fauci declining to come on your show. Is that okay? And I said, sure. I mean, we read you the direct email that we got. And now the Fauchster, his people have already reached out anew. Do you want to, read this one too?
I mean, where is this, in my text or my email?
Yes. Allie just texted us. It should be, you should have gotten the text too.
Oh, wow. Hold on a second. We received your request for Dr. We received your request for Dr. Fauci to appear on the show. Ideally, what date and what time would he appear? I presume it will be live, but would you take caller questions? What is the total amount of time Dr. Fauci, pre and post interview included, would need to do the show? This information will help as we consider the request. Oh, looks like the blanket we're going to ignore you maneuver ain't going to fly from the NIAID NIH comm shop.
Sounds like, I mean, I think what's happened is they probably are now recognizing, oh, this show's kind of a big deal. And we're getting media questions about your rejection, given the fact that Fauci appears everywhere. And so we'll have to update you tomorrow as well. By the way, Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan has suddenly seen the light, Buck, in terms of the restrictions in her state.
Clay, we're going to talk about Whitmer tomorrow for sure in Michigan, but also, you know, Clay is going to restrain me from replying to this email. We want to have Dr. Fauci interviewed by Dr. Fauci on the show with Buck playing the role of Fauci, but I won't. If he, look, I'll say this. If he comes on, we will treat him as a guest that gets respect of questions. We will be straight and ask real questions. And there will be no undue grumpiness or anything like that. So we're excited. It might actually happen because Clay and Buck get results, folks. I guess that's where we are today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Boom. See y'all tomorrow.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.